verses 15 through to the end. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jesus, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." Then the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, that is, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, Guy, would you like to come forward?
All right.
And let's pray for the anointing of your words of wisdom to us this morning. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we give you thanks now for Guy and this message that you have laid on his heart. And we pray now, Lord, that you would fill him with your spirit, that you would breathe life into his words. Would you bless him richly now as he speaks for you? Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Dan. Thank you, everybody. Well, I'm Guy. I'm the vicar at St. Mark's Church. See you next week, maybe. If you are visiting today, this is actually my last service. So it's really great to welcome you. Do stick around. This might actually be the last time I'm ever a vicar, I thought this morning, because the role I'm moving to is one where I'm not a vicar, and I don't know what's going to happen after that. So this might be my last day as a vicar, which is really weird, isn't it? By the way, I'm going to need some helpers a bit later on, so I'll be looking around for good people to help me. Is that all right? Yeah, oh, maybe. Play cards, right? All right. Just in case you're not aware of what's happening, I'm starting a new job in Birmingham. Is anyone from Birmingham? Yes. Yeah, I already know about you guys. Just in case I lapse into the accent, you know. I'm starting a new job in Birmingham 1st of August. And when I got the job, I was looking for something that had a title that was long enough for my ego. So I'm going to be what's known as the Director of Learning for Discipleship and Mission. I think that's kind of long enough, isn't it? And I start 1st of August, but we're actually not leaving Harrogate. So my wife, Ruth, who's actually here this morning. So it's great to have you, and Anna and Hamish as well. It's great to have them here. Ruth is still curate at Bilton, And so we're allowed to stay in the vicarage around the corner until Ruth gets a position in Birmingham. We don't know yet what that'll be, but that'll be the main, if you're praying for us, that's the main thing to pray for. And when Ruth gets her position, then we'll move as a family. But that might not be till next year. So I will be coming back at weekends to Harrogate, skulking around with my dog. And you might see me around, but you won't see me back at this church. I'll be, you know, going to cafes on Sunday. No, I'll probably be going to Ruth's church to listen to her preach. So that's what's happening. So this is my last Sunday, maybe as a vicar, certainly here. And I'm not going to focus a lot on big thank yous because we're doing something this afternoon. But I'd just like to say thank you very much for letting me walk with you and be your vicar. It's not something I take for granted, and it's been a huge privilege. And I've been particularly moved by people's reactions to the news that I'm leaving. So, you know, poor James. When I told him, you know, he gave me what I felt was a heartfelt and appropriately sad reaction to the news. On the other hand, when I mentioned it to Dan that I was going, I didn't quite know how to take it, really. I thought, shall I get him to do some more action songs? But Dan, I do have a gift for you later on in the service. Oh, it was even worse with Kim. So this is my last sermon to you, no pressure or anything. But I just thought I'd start with a couple of things to set the context. So 9 years ago, I was licensed here in a service, and you gave me three symbols. The first symbol was a pair of praying hands, symbolizing, you know, we need to be growing in prayer. The second symbol was you gave me an iPhone. And the purpose of the iPhone was really to say, we want to do things in new ways. We want fresh thinking. We want to update. We know that more of the same will not get the job done. At least that's how I read it, and that you were open for that. And the third symbol was the best, bottle of champagne. That symbol was saying, we want to release potential in the church. We want to build the team. We want to have kingdom impact. We want to grow disciples. And we want to get everyone on board. So those were the three symbols. And I won't reflect too much on the prayer and the champagne because they kind of speak for themselves. But I will say this about the iPhone. That the temptation when a vicar leaves is always to say, oh, I can go back to an old model now. Go back to the model I grew up with. I'm more comfortable with that one. You had to just go, I don't know about you, though. While I've been here in 9 years, the iPhone has updated several times itself. And I believe that if we're really serious about listening to God and following God, we always need to be prepared to update. And that means wrestling with questions about discipleship and community and mission and kingdom in this land, and being prepared to keep asking those questions and keep looking for the new thing. So my little challenge to you is, are you going to want to go back, because I'm out the door, to the old phone, your comfort phone? Or will you be prepared to keep updating to see what God has for the next phase and the next chapter? Does that make sense to you? And I'm not going to write anything on this document about the new vicar. I'm quite offended by the idea that some people might have written, we want a taller vicar, one with hair, you know, and all of that. But what I really do hope and believe is that the next vicar, whoever he or she may be, that they will be someone who wants to take you with a further model of the iPhone and say, we need to keep pursuing discipleship and community and mission. And I'm going to take that challenge to Birmingham, and I hope that you'll be able to take that here as well. The second thing to set the context is just to share with you a bit about how I'm feeling about leaving. And I think I told you that when Ruth and I were thinking about the next phase in January, we realized that we didn't want to do two separate parishes. And that was like the practical catalyst for me starting to look for another job. And so I started to look for an area role, got one in Birmingham. It kind of happened in 2 months, and I felt like I'd fallen into it. It happened very quickly. I didn't have time for my head to catch up. And for a few weeks after I got the job, I couldn't tell anyone in the church it was happening. There were about 6 weeks. And I have to be honest with you, in that 6 weeks, I felt really flat and low about it. And then I announced it in mid-May, and the week after I told you all I was moving, I felt even worse. And I think I began to think to myself, how have I ended up here? I've sort of got into this job, and it's kind of all happening in a rush, and now I'm moving, and is it just because we need to sort things out practically in our lives, or is there a real calling for me? Does that make sense to you? So that was one of the things I've been wrestling with. And the second thing is that I began to realize all the stuff that I'm going to be losing as a result of moving. And you know, when you've been a vicar a while in a place, you get used to the church and the church get used to you and you become kind of normal. But as soon as you start to think about leaving, you start to think about all the great things there are about being here. The amazing privilege of being a vicar, the team that we have here, the kingdom impact that we have, the heart for discipleship, the wealth of this church, the resource of this church, the opportunities of engaging with the community, the great people I get to work with, just all of that, leaving it behind. And then thinking about going to Birmingham, a place I don't know. They don't know me. Starting again with a whole load of people. Starting again with people who you've got to gain their trust. Moving out of your comfort zone. I'm really comfortable being a vicar because I know what I'm doing, more or less. But they don't know me and I don't know them. And it felt like several losses rolled into one. And finally, I was thinking about this new role. Let me remind you. Director of Learning for Discipleship and Mission. And I was thinking, you know, it's complex enough leading one church, trying to work out how to listen to God and lead one church community. I'm going to be responsible for relating to 184 churches in Birmingham. And then, you know, there'll be the language barrier to overcome. But they'll be naturally thinking, who is this new person? We don't know him. And, you know, it's a diocesan person coming to tell us what to do and all that stuff. You know how it is. And so I said, how am I going to do this? So I had these three feelings. Why on earth am I leaving? Is it just a kind of practical thing? What's my head saying? How am I feeling about all the loss of leaving and the loss involved of starting again? And how am I actually going to do this? And as I'm speaking to you, I'm becoming more and more depressed. But a big change that's happened since I've been at St. Mark's is that once or twice a year, I've been going to this place in North Wales called St. Bino's, which is a retreat house. And I've been going on silent retreat for 3.5 days. I didn't know if you realized how hardcore I am. 3.5 days silence. And the purpose of that time is to set space for God to get through to me, and particularly through imaginative prayer. Has been a really great and significant way in which God has been able to communicate with me at significant moments of my life. And fortunately, a few weeks ago, I was able to go to St. Bino's carrying all these feelings and seeking God's answer for what he might want to say. So I'm going to offer you today 3 new symbols. And those symbols speak about how God met my anxieties. They also speak about the kind of attitude of heart that I think you will need in the future and that we all need in the future. And they are going to reflect on changes that I've experienced while I've been here at St. Mark's. So firstly, when I was at St. Bino's, I was praying imaginatively around the story of blind Bartimaeus. Now, blind Bartimaeus is sitting at the side of the road near Jericho. Jesus comes along. He says, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus says, bring him up to me. Blind Bartimaeus comes up to him. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And blind Bartimaeus says, Lord, I want to see. And Jesus says, your faith has made you well. his sight's restored, and he follows Jesus. So I'm praying into this story, and I'm imagining myself as blind Bartimaeus. So I can't see what's going on. I feel like I'm in the crowd, and I'm saying, Lord, what do you want to say to me through this story? And as I'm praying, I'm brought up to Jesus, and I hear Jesus say to me, Guy, what do you want me to do for you? It's a great question to ask the Lord, or to let the Lord ask you. And I found myself, as I was praying, saying, Lord, I really want to trust you for your goodness for the future. I want to know that you're in it. Now, here's the really weird thing, that as I was praying, this total unexpected thing happened, that I found myself with my eyes being opened, seeing Jesus face to face. And he grabs me by the shoulders. And he says, Guy, look at me. Just look at me. I've got you. I know what I'm about. I'm going ahead of you. I've called you and I've equipped you, and I want you to be there. And I felt this relief. It's not just me practically making an arrangement with God. It's his calling, and he's got me. He's got me. Now, this is where I need a helper. If someone can help me. Okay. Is there someone who can help me? Thank you so much, Izzy. All right, I would like you, in my special bag of tricks, I've got something I'd just like you to take it out and put it on the table. Can you put that on the table for me?
Yeah.
Hold it up so everyone can see. There we go. Some of you at the back can't see. But if you put it on the table there, Izzy, thank you very much. While I've been at St. Mark's, thank you so much, Izzy. I've had to start wearing glasses. And so my first symbol for you as you embark on this chapter is a pair of glasses. And the glasses say this: whatever you're going through, all we need to do is look at him. You're entering a new season as a church. It's a time of uncertainty. It's a time of opportunity. Or maybe in your life, you're in a really uncertain place. Look at him. That's all that's needed. Look at him looking at you. Morning, look at him. Evening, look at him. When you don't know what to pray, look at him. When you don't know what's ahead of you, look at him. St. Mark's, he's got you. He's got you. In my second time of prayer, I was praying into the story where Jesus has been resurrected and he's talking to Peter. And Peter has betrayed Jesus three times. And Jesus says to him, Peter, do you love me? And he says it three times. And Peter says, you know I love you. And then Jesus says something really weird to him. He says, when you were a young man, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted to go. But when you are older, someone else will dress you and they will lead you where you don't want to go. And Jesus was telling Peter, you're going to be led to your death. And you're not going to want to go there. But this is how you're going to glorify me. Now, I'm not equating going to Birmingham with being led to my death. But what I am saying is, in a real sense, I felt that I'd been led away from things that I love to things that I have no idea about. And I felt that someone else is dressing me and someone else is leading me. If we walk with Jesus, we're going to share in his sufferings. But that's our privilege. It's not a problem. And I've been moaning internally about how terribly difficult this was for me, how much I'm going to be losing, how uncomfortable it's going to be commuting down to Birmingham during the week and coming back here weekends and partying every night, Monday to Friday. And I'm only kidding. And in some ways, it does feel like I'm losing a lot of security and going where I don't want to be. I'm having my hands tied and being led where I don't want to go. But that is discipleship. And every time we die a bit to ourselves, that's when we glorify him. We bring God glory when we're willing to step out of what's comfortable into what isn't comfortable. And what's more, it's unavoidable. I mean, when you're younger, you do get to dress yourself and make your identity and think about who you are, and that's your main thing. But as you get older, don't you get this sense that you get fewer and fewer choices, and maybe in some ways other people start to dress you and you start to be led where you don't necessarily want to go? It's unavoidable. But every time we take that as God working in us, we glorify him. And while I've been at St. Mark's, there's been a huge change in my life. In a way, I'm sorry Ruth is here this morning, because this involves another girl. Another girl has come into my life while I've been here at St. Mark's. Isn't she cute?
Is that your dog?
That is my dog. My Bess. And my second symbol is in the bag here. Can someone else help me? Come on then, Fiona. Can you lift this thing up here?
What is it?
Well, you'll find out.
Oh, it's a lead, yeah.
Lift that up for everyone to see.
It's a dog lead.
My second symbol for you. Thank you.
This is what Guy uses to take a dog for a walk.
It is. Or rather, what Bess uses to take me for a walk. It's another story. Put it on the table there. My second symbol for you. Thank you so much. Is a dog lead. Will you let yourself be led wherever he will lead you? It's saying. Jesus said, just follow me, whatever the cost. Because that's where you glorify me. And I've been moaning about how uncomfortable change is in my life. But you know what? I was thinking there was a time in my life as a Christian when if God says go, I'd have just gone. No questions. Because that's what disciples do. They just go. So I'm not looking for a comfortable life. I'm not looking for God to fit in with my plans. I'm looking to fit in with God's plans. That's discipleship. And as a church, you've got further to go. I haven't led you to be perfect. You've got more obedience to embrace. You've got more discipleship to discover. There are always changes in life. And Jesus just says, will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Pair of glasses, look at him, dog lead, will you be led by him and glorify him in that? And in my third time of prayer, I was praying into the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And I was the little boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And as I was praying into this and I was imagining myself to be this little boy, I noticed something in a fresh way. The little boy brings the little that he has. And to be honest, that's how I'm feeling about going to Birmingham. I've just got this. You know, this is what I've got. And then Jesus takes what he has and he blesses it. And then here's the thing that struck me as I was praying. What Jesus does is he then gives it back to the boy, and then the boy distributes it. And I was struck by this simple thought, that all I'm required to do by God is offer what I have to him, and then he gives it back, and he just wants me to distribute whatever he gives me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I'm not required to be or to have or to do or to know everything. I'm just required to bring whatever I've got to him, give it to him and offer it to him every day, and whatever he gives back to me, distribute it. And while I've been at St. Mark's, I've started wearing glasses, I've got a dog, but a profound change in my life, and Laura, this is your plate, so just... a profound change in my life is I've become vegetarian. And here are two plant-based fish fillets, which I'm going to give to Dan. As a sign of my love and respect to you. But some fish fillets and five loaves. And they're a sign that whatever you have, all that you're required to do is give it to him and offer it to him and then take whatever he gives back to you. It's really liberating. It's really liberating. It just means that whatever you face in this interregnum, it's never beyond you because you've just got to bring what you have. If you've got a new job or a new situation or making disciples or you're facing an unknown future, I mean, you're starting a big job down in London, aren't you, Norman? All you've got to do is bring what you have to Jesus. Whatever he gives you back, you distribute it. That's all you're required to do. So, that's the last symbol I'd like to leave you with. Well, I say the last. There's a cheeky extra one I'd like to give you. And it comes from Kim's ordination last week. And this, I really do need some helpers now, because I'm going to give everyone in the church a gift. That's the kind of vicar I am. Can I have some people to come down and help me share these out? I need someone to share them out. Okay, you two, can you share them out with these people here? Okay, just give everyone one of those. Brilliant. And could you, Izzy, could you give some of those out to the people in the front few rows? And could you give some out to the people in the front few rows? Or maybe this side of the church there. There you go. Take those there. And all the people down that side. Okay, can you give them one of those each, sweetheart? Lovely. And can you pass those back there? And got a few more here. Pass these back. And take it and just try it on. There you go. A few more there to pass around. I'm giving you all a dog collar. To wear. And I haven't bought a camera, so... Last week, Kim was ordained, and it struck me as she was being ordained that most of the things she was being asked to be and to do, we're all asked to be and to do. So try it on. Some of you are thinking, oh, I can't put this on, but just try it to see how it feels. It looks good on Ruth, I have to say. And Kim was very gracious because when we took a photo, she made me look tall. So that's great, isn't it? So the symbol of the champagne bottle was about releasing the energy of the whole people of God, yeah? The Bible says that we are a priesthood. We are a priesthood. We're all called to be bridges that other people... Wow, Paul, you look great with that on. We're all called to be bridges. We're all called to lead. We're all called to make disciples. We're all called to be part of what God is doing. And particularly in this season, it can be a real opportunity when you know I am just as much called as anybody up the front. Just say that to yourself. I am just as much called as anybody up the front. We are all called and equipped to be the people of God, the priesthood of God. Some of you aren't wearing it. I can see. Don't worry, you're not being ordained into the Church of England. After this service is over, you can take it off and just have it in your Bible. But I want you to have it as a reminder during this season particularly that you are all needed and all called. We are all Jesus' body. Look at these questions that Kim was asked. Will you be diligent in prayer, in reading Holy Scripture, and in all studies that will deepen your faith and fit you to uphold the truth of the gospel against error? And she said, by the help of God, I will. Does that question not apply to everyone here? And then she was asked, will you strive to fashion your own life and that of your household according to the way of Christ by the help of God? Does that not apply to you? Will you promote unity, peace, and love among all Christian people, and especially among those whom you serve, by the help of God, I will? That applies to every single person here. And do you know what? Even if you don't call yourself a Christian yet, it's still something you can do. And will you then, in the strength of the Holy Spirit, continually stir up the gift of God that is in you to make Christ known to you? She said, by the help of God, I will. Does that not apply to you? And then the blessing was this: Almighty God, who has given you the will to undertake all these things, give you also the strength to perform them, that he may complete that work which he has begun in you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In other words, in order to do this, you've got to know you're not yet perfect and complete. So, we're going to have a semi-ordination of this church. Okay? Take it off when you leave, otherwise I'll get in trouble. But wear it round your heart at all times. Would you like to stand? And I'm going to invite you. Gosh, Jeff, you look perfect with your black shirt and your collar on. He looks so perfect. I'm going to invite you to embrace this calling as the whole priesthood. And again, you know, if you're just starting your journey, it's all only about offering the small that you have to the Lord, and whatever he gives you back, distributing that. So, brothers and sisters of all ages, will ye be diligent in prayer, in reading Holy Scripture, and in all studies that will deepen your faith and fit you to uphold the truth of the gospel against error? Will you strive to fashion your own life and that of your household according to the way of Christ? Will you promote unity, peace, and love among all Christian people, and especially among those whom you serve? Will you then, in this season and in the years to come, in the strength of the Holy Spirit, continually stir up the gift of God that is in you to make Christ known to all? And Almighty God, who has given you the will to undertake all these things, give you also the strength to perform them, that he may complete that work which he has begun in you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you like to just congratulate the person next to you on their ordination?
We're going to pray for you all this afternoon. Is that all right? So, good people, as our service draws to a close, we're going to gather back later on this afternoon between 4 and 6, where we're going to have coffee and cake. There's going to be an opportunity to share some anecdotes and stories about a guy and his family, and to give thanks for them. We're going to pray for them as a family later on this afternoon and gather them all together and send them on with our blessing for the next chapter of their life. And we will share gifts, and we're also going to share informally communion right at the end as a way of acknowledging that God is a part of all of us and leading us all forward. So that's how we're going to play this afternoon. But we're just going to close now in our final song.